This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Grant. He's Danny. This is The Fan, and you're locked into 106.7 The Fan. You can listen to our show, all the shows, Junks, Chad, each and every day by downloading the all-new Radio.com app. Listen at any time, anywhere. Kirk Cousins has played three games. After Monday night, he'll be a quarter way through another one-year deal as he helped or hurt his cause in trying to get paid. I looked this up last night, bunch of where he ranks around the league. I'm going to throw those numbers at you to set this up. Newsflash, whatever you think about Kirk Cousins doesn't matter because the quarterback play around the league again this year is not good. His quarterback play has been through three games by and large, and he is on par to get another raise at this point. Here's what you need to know, Danny.
Okay.
Through three games. We could say he played, you want to use the word bad against Philadelphia? I'll give you that.
You could say that if you have to.
I've said he's played poorly against Philadelphia. We'll throw that out there. He had a solid game. Game manager, didn't get asked to do anything, executed the offense beautifully against the Rams, made a very nice couple of throws on a 3-for-3 drive, including one throw. Would have been 4-for-4 for 50 yards, negated. But they go and they win on a touchdown drive he orchestrates in the fourth quarter. Played a fine game. Third game lit it up, so he's been great once, he's been good once or okay once, and he's been bad once. He's not terrorizing opposing defenses, right? This is why I keep saying to pay this guy. Because that's what gets you paid, that type of performance. He ranks 9th in passing yards. He ranks 8th in completion percentage. He ranks 5th in yards per completion, 9th in touchdowns, 8th in 20-plus yard completions, 5th overall among quarterbacks who have played in three games, top 5 in quarterback rating despite the supposed dud against the Eagles. He had one poor game, one efficient game as a game manager, one lights-out gem. How he plays matters less than everything else and where he ranks because GMs don't have the luxury of doing what fans do where they just call in and say, he threw that pick. He made that bad throw. He didn't read this player coming off the edge. They have to say what else is out there. They can't compare him to the ghosts that people do. They have to compare him to the other quarterbacks around the league. DeShone Kizer, rookie. That's kind of the direction you're going in without Cousins.
Right.
7 interceptions through 3 games. Andy Dalton, $96 million man. It's been terrible. Joe Flacco's been worse than terrible. Eli Manning, struggling. Cam Newton has been awful. Carson Palmer has had two duds in one decent game. Phillip Rivers, same number of touchdowns as picks, 4. Brian Hoyer, starting, struggling.
A guy that's going to be a stud in Jameis Winston, struggling. 2 turnovers in only 2 games.
Week,
yeah, 3
yes.
picks, I mean.
Matt Ryan, last week, 3 interceptions. Obviously, an elite quarterback. But my point is, look around the league. Look at the rankings. Through 3 games, and Cousins has been great in one of them. He has helped himself already for more money, not hurt himself. And look who's on hold. Our buddy, Joe Theismann.
Knows a thing or two.
Longtime Redskins quarterback and great legend in town. What's up, Joe? How are you?
Hi, guys. Just listening to you talk about Tony Romo and Kirk Cousins. And, you know, you guys bring up an interesting point about Kirk. It doesn't matter. And you made the great point because there aren't enough quarterbacks out there. Kirk's going to get whatever amount of money he wants to get. Remember, guys, Kirk was the one who chose not to sign a contract or respond to the Redskins' offer. So he made the decision to play this year out under the franchise tag. I think that the big thing is not economic with Kirk Cousins. He'll get somewhere between $120 and $130 million in a total contract, maybe even a little bit more someplace else. But what he has to consider is what will the team that I choose to join or stay with look like with the supporting cast? Am I going to get killed for a couple million more? Do we have the chance to win for a couple million more? Does the team I have a ready like I have now that the defense is getting better, or am I going to have to outscore people all the time? Those are the questions. Economics doesn't even enter into the decision by Kirk Cousins, in my opinion.
Joe, what about the idea that this year's draft wasn't chock full of great quarterback prospects, according to a lot of people that do that for a living, but this coming year will? Might that be an economic alternative? I know you said economics have nothing to do with it, but might teams want to say, you know what, let's build something with a young kid as opposed to going huge salary cap investment for someone like Kirk Cousins? What are your thoughts there?
I think you go with the – I think if you're a team that has a chance to win, then you're going to be a team that wants Kirk Cousins. If you're a team like, let's say, for example, the Jets, where you've got rid of everybody and you're starting over, you're going to go probably get a young guy. I think Mitchell Trubisky probably should start in Chicago now. Now would be a good time to stick him on the football field. Mike Glennon did not play well, hasn't really played that well. Put the kid out there. They're going to run the football anyway, so they're not going to ask him to do a lot. And you know, everybody, you got to remember something. When these guys come out of college, they're entering an entirely different world than they have in the world of college. You know, the kid at USC was supposed to be terrific. Kid at UCLA. I like Keith Ferguson down in Memphis as much as anybody. And he went head-to-head with the guys from UCLA. I mean, they're early into their college season, and they haven't played that great. It's not like they've thrown 25 touchdown passes and no interceptions. So to me, you have to look at the prospects in a perspective of what they might be able to do 2-3 years down the road. And you got, you know, you mentioned, like we talked about Carson Palmer being an individual who really, you know, he's probably at the end too. So, I mean, there's lots of teams out there that are going to be looking for a young quarterback, but really, and you guys have heard me say this sort of ad nauseum, the quarterback position is the single most dependent position on the field. And if you don't have the players around that position, you really don't stand a chance for success. And as a coach and a general manager, your livelihood depends on that guy having the right people around him. This is what the Redskins have around Kirk Cousins. It would be, I'll say it right now before we go any further, for Kirk Cousins to decide to leave the Washington Redskins would be a major mistake for Kirk Cousins.
Interesting. I want to double-click on that in a second, but I like that theme that you brought up first, because I completely agree with it. And that's why I don't like the handling of the contract situation by the Redskins. And that is, every year the number goes up. This year we'll have a caller tell us, well, he hasn't even played that well. I don't agree with that, but let's say that that's true. It doesn't matter, to your point, because quarterbacks around the league aren't playing better than him. He's in the top 10 in most of the categories through three games because he played one gem to this point, and he's going to do that again this year like he did the last 2 years. So I guess my question, Joe, would be, what's going to change for the Redskins? Because, yes, Kirk did not negotiate back and forth with them, but the offer they sent him was still below market value. The year before
When you say below market value, forget about the number, $135 million, $140 million.
Right.
What's important is the length of the contract and the guarantee. At the time the Redskins made the offer on May 2nd, the guarantee that they offered Kirk Cousins was more than anybody in football.
But, okay, and I heard Bruce Allen say
that. So now you start winding up negotiating against yourself, which you and I both agree is just downright stupid.
Agreed, but here would be that was what Bruce said, and if he was on the show, this is what I would say to him. The offer they made Kirk Cousins in terms of guarantees only guaranteed him the year that he already had guaranteed this year, and next year, which he essentially already has guaranteed as well, because the Redskins have no choice but to slap a transition tag at $27 million. There was no third year guaranteed. He's already earned this year's guarantees, as he already had a transition tag. And he's earned next year's $27 million because they're not going to let him walk. So the floor was 27 plus 24 is right around 50, which is what they offered him. They didn't offer him anything in addition to the 2 years. It was
so from a
there's
from
no
a
reason
business,
to take that deal if you're Kirk.
But here's the thing. But is there any reason not to negotiate at least?
I would say yes.
Why not? If you wanted more money.
Right.
If you felt like there was more money, why wouldn't you respond and say, you know what, I appreciate the guarantee, but I'd like to get a guarantee one more year. I need an injury guarantee for X amount of dollars. And if that happens, I'll sign the contract. Kirk, and again, you can't put it all on the Redskins in this.
I don't put it all on them this offseason. I put it on them from before. He made the offer with his agent to sign at 19.5 for three straight years.
Exactly.
And they said no. They screwed that up. Now, this offseason,
right.
I agree with you.
I totally agree. But we're talking about this particular negotiation.
But let me ask you this.
And
put yourself in Kirk's shoes. You're a quarterback. You're a Super Bowl guy. You feel like you can win whatever it is, right? You're with the Redskins, and you have lost Sean McVay, who you had a great relationship with and was your main advocate in the building. You've lost Pierre Garçon and DeSean Jackson.
Well, I disagree with that. Jay Gruden's a pretty good advocate, too.
Okay. He is a pretty good advocate. He's not on the same level as Sean McVay is in Kirk Cousins'
Well,
camp.
I don't know about that.
All right.
I mean, it's Jay's offense. Sean was just calling plays.
I agree.
And did a great job at it. And Jay, I got to be honest with you, you can analyze these first three games any way you want, but it's not the play calling that created issues.
But what I was told was that originally when they benched Robert, Sean and there were people in the building that were huge Kirk guys, and Jay's been a Colt guy. Now, I'm just saying Kirk's confidant that stood on the table for him more than anybody else was McVay. Now, Gruden and him have a growing relationship.
Let me just say this.
Yeah.
And I'll just leave it at this. Don't believe everything you've heard.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
I'm not going to say anything more, but I will tell you that it would probably serve you well not to believe everything you heard about this situation.
That's fair.
I mean, and that's, you know, that's where it lies. But I think that, you know, again, if I'm Kirk Cousins, I'm doing two things. I know that there's a pot of gold out there. I know there's a big sum of money waiting for me at five or six different places. But here's the thing that I have to be concerned with. Who is around me and what are our chances to win? I can tell you, making $25, $26 million a year and having to go to work every day with the prospect of losing, it's not appealing. When you can make darn near the same amount of money and be someplace where you have a chance to win. It's going to be about winning and losing and people around you and the system you've been in and all those other little factors that people don't talk about away from the economics.
Joe, we always win when you call, man. Really appreciate you hopping on.
This
is cool.
More.
I like this a lot.
Joe.
I just, you know, I drive down the road. I love listening to you guys, and I go, oh, okay. That sounds like something I might have an opinion of.
Hey, can I ask you one more thing? And we're way late, but I want to get your opinion.
Sure.
I don't even know if
I'll
you heard
quick.
This. We were talking about color commentary and how hard it is.
Yes.
I loved the ESPN broadcast you used to do with Mike Patrick. I think Romo's good. What's your take on him? And am I right that that's one of the hardest things to do well?
Well, yes, it is, because you were right. I listened to pretty much most of it. You have to talk in sound bites because you have to give the play-by-play guy a chance to do his job. So what you're doing is you're sort of garnishing to a meal. I thought Tony did an excellent job last night talking about the Packers in the formation they're lined up in. Here's the option. He called it twice at the end of the game. He said, Aaron's going to look once at somebody, and then he's going to buy time, which is really what he does. That comes from film study. It comes from meetings. It comes from preparation. Just to give you a little insight, I spend 60 hours a week preparing for a football game.
Wow.
And that's how much time I put in the amount of years that I broadcast, which was 23. But I invested that much time. By the time you meet with coaches, by the time you meet with players, by the time you have your production meeting, by the time you read articles, by the time you study film, if you want to be good at this, that's what you have to do. And I think Tony is laying a great foundation for being a very, very informative guy. And you made a great point when you said, you know what, I want people to teach me. That was the approach that I took. Every time I stepped in the booth, is I want to share something with you today that you might not have known before about the game of football or about a player or about concepts. And I think Tony's done an excellent job grasping that idea.
Very cool. Awesome. Joe, really appreciate the time, man. We got to jump. Thank you.
See you guys. Thanks.
All right,
bye.
Very cool. It's an honor to have him call in like that. I mean, it's just so, so neat. We appreciate that. Joe Theismann on Grant and Danny. Let's get your guys' thoughts and reactions to that next. 800-636-1067. You heard the numbers where Cousins ranks around the league. What do you make of Ball being in his court, the negotiation ongoing?
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.